Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you do this each Sunday morning as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also would like to take this time to invite you to a special series of lessons that we will be holding at the Harrisburg Church of Christ beginning on October the 9th, Sunday, running through Friday, October the 14th. Our speaker will be Brother Tom Rainwater from Chenanaga, New York. And we encourage you to come and listen to him as he opens up the pages of God's Word. Our meeting times on Sunday will be at the regular times of 10:20 for morning worship, 6:30 for evening worship. And we will meet each evening, Monday through Friday at 7 p.m. We invite you to any and all of these services. You will be encouraged and edified. And we want nothing from you but to come with an open mind and an open Bible and study God's Word with us. Please avail yourself to this wonderful opportunity. This morning we want to continue and finish a two-part lesson that we discussed last week as we continue to examine reasons why we're members of the Church of Christ. Today we're going to conclude the study that we began last Lord's Day in teaching that man is saved by the blood of Christ. I'm a member of the Lord's Church because it teaches that man is saved by the blood of Christ. We need to remember that Christ's blood was shed for human redemption. This is so clearly taught in the Scriptures, no one can honestly deny that this is a true fact. Isaiah foresaw us being healed by his stripes in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5 and 6. In the book of Zechariah, the great prophet, he prophesied a fountain that would be open for sin, that would cleanse sin, in Zechariah 13, verse number 1. Christ instituted the Lord's Supper and made mention of the redemptive quality that his blood would give to mankind in Matthew 26, verse number 28. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. You see, it's the blood of the new covenant, and the reason that it was shed is for the remission of sin. We also see it is one of the fundamental facts of the gospel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4, we read, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preached to you, which you also received, in which you stand, by which you are also saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." Notice, he died for our sins. In Romans, the fifth chapter, and in verse number 8, Romans chapter 5, and verse number 8, we read that the blood of Christ had a particular responsibility. Verse 8 says, "But God demonstrated his own love towards us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So again, we see that he died for us, and he shed his blood for us. And in verse number 9, it says, "Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." You see, we were acquitted. We were made right by the blood of Christ. And the Gentiles, who were at once alienated from God, are saved by the same means and saved by that same sacrifice. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 through 13, "Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision, by what is called the circumcision, made in flesh by hands, that at the time were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and a promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who at once were far off, have been brought nigh by the blood of Christ." Notice, you have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And he shed it for all of mankind. In Hebrews 2, and verse number 9, the scripture says, "He tasted death for every man. Therefore, He tasted death for every man. And John 3:16, scripture that we're all very familiar with, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, we read that that blood is indeed precious, and it redeemed us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. Scripture says, "Knowing this, that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot." You see, we were saved and redeemed by the blood of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, we are told that that blood brought redemption and forgiveness of sin. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. In John's vision of those who have been redeemed in the Revelation letter, in chapter 7, and in verse number 14, Revelation 7 and verse number 14, the scripture says, "And I said to him, 'Sir, you know.' So he said to me, 'These are the ones who came out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.'" And so all of these passages clearly identify and teach us that Christ's blood was shed for the purpose of human redemption, to redeem us from our bondage to sin, to cleanse us from our sin, and to give us remission of sin. That's why Christ died on the cross. That's why he shed that precious blood. Now, the question we must ask is how we are cleansed by that blood. All men who respect the Bible readily admit that sinful man can only be saved by the blood of Christ. We just read the passages that validate that. But the fact is that he shed his blood does not mean that all men will be saved. Now, it's God's desire that all men be saved, but it does not mean they will be, because not all of them will apply the blood that was shed on the cross to their sin. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said in the great Sermon on the Mount, in bringing his sermon to a conclusion and offering some conclusion, he talked about two paths. Beginning in the 13th verse, he said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." We also read in 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, in verse 17 and 18, "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and sinner appear?" You see, the sinner has to apply the blood to his soul. This implies that there must be some condition man must accomplish for him to be afforded the blessings of that shed blood. Upon what conditions does that blood cleanse us from our sin? Well, we're going to read two passages. In Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. "Well, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who are dead dying in sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we will also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that an old man was crucified with him, and with the body of sin might be done away with, that we no longer should be slaves of sin." And then in Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse number 11. Verse 11 says, "In him you are also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, he made alive together with him, having forgiven all of your trespasses." So in these two passages, we clearly see that baptism is the means of contacting the blood of Christ. It is the means that when men go under the water, they come up a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says, "All old things have passed away, and behold, all things are new." And so we become a new creature. A new creature. Why are we new? Not because of the water, but because of the blood. The blood is what washes away our sin. Read 1 Peter 3 verse 21. Also, we read in the conversion of the Apostle Paul as Saul of Tarsus. In recounting his conversion, he made the statement in Acts 22, verse number 16. Acts 22, verse 16. "And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." That means calling on his authority. And so therefore, when men submit to baptism, they contact the element that has the means of washing away, of redeeming, of giving us forgiveness of sins, and washing our sins away. That same blood that Jesus gave in order to give us redemption and forgiveness of sin also purchased the church, according to Acts 20, verse 28. Man is redeemed and purchased by that same blood. A connected relationship with the church. And that's what he was added to in Acts 2, verse 47, after he obeyed the gospel. Man must be baptized to gain remission of sin. Why? That's a way of contacting the blood of Christ and the blood that was shed by our Savior, Ephesians 5, verse number 23. In 1 John 1, and verse 7, that blood keeps us clean by walking in the light. That's God's teaching that we remain obedient to. And when we are obedient to that teaching, we have fellowship one with another. And so, what if I get out of the light? Does God suspend the promise if I walk in darkness? Absolutely. Read Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 29. And so, what can we conclude by our study about the blood of Christ? Ladies and gentlemen, without the blood of Christ, no man can gain remission of sin, can be redeemed from his sin, and can have a spiritual relationship with Christ. And the only means of contacting that blood, according to the scripture that we read in Romans chapter 6 and Colossians chapter 2, is by contacting the death of Christ. And we do that when we submit and go into the watery grave and we come up to walk in newness of life, Romans chapter 6 and verse number 4. You see, ladies and gentlemen, it is a very simple understanding. In conclusion this morning, ask yourself this question. Does man contact the blood when he believes in God? No passage says it. Does he gain it when he repents of his sin? No passage in the scripture says it. Does he get it when he confesses Christ and accepts him as the Son of God? No, but there are ample scriptures that demonstrate that he does contact it when he submits to baptism. And every conversion ends at the book in Acts, ends at the water. Why? Because men need the blood of Christ. That's why I'm a member of the Church of Christ, because we believe and teach and practice man is saved by contacting the blood of Christ. Thank you for listening this morning. Please tune in again next Lord's Day as we continue to look and give you a message of truth.